student sounds from your student station. This is Lush.
Hey up, good evening everybody. This is Socially Shockwood with me, Sam Shaw. Another is returning with me again, it's my right-hand man, it's Jose, the Spanish experience artist.
How's it going, people?
And obviously we've also got Callum Sims with us today.
Howdy.
How's it going anyways, guys? Are we excited to be back on?
As always, Sam,
of course,
as always.
I know, well, I had to apologise anyways to all the listeners out there that tuned in last week for Social Shocker to find out it wasn't actually on, and the podcast was also late. But then again, 2 weeks ago we had a pretty awkward show anyways, because, I mean, we couldn't get in, and then there was all that chatting shit, wasn't it?
I remember that.
It didn't go too well,
It was gold, Sam. It was gold.
Yeah.
But hey, at least we made it. That's what matters, Sam.
Exactly. We've got
dedication.
It. And it's everything's still up on iTunes for everyone to listen to. But obviously this week there's a lot going on for Lush Radio. We've got a charity broadcast coming up this weekend which Socially Shocker will be taking part in. So I'm getting real bad feedback. And then we are going to be doing 3 hours on Sunday evening for everyone out there that wants to listen.
Oh,
Callum
yeah.
and Jose will be taking part, won't you guys?
I'm looking forward to it, man.
Indeed.
And that's obviously for sports relief. I don't know if anyone actually tuned into Socially Shocker last year when I was on the 69-hour broadcast.
Oh, you were there as well last year?
Yeah, I was with two girls. I got thrown with...
Oh, I remember that. I remember the story.
I got thrown on with these two girls that I'd never met before. They were nice enough for 3 hours. And fuck me, did I sweat. I was sweating buckets.
Really? Were you really, really sweaty?
Yeah, because the guy who ran Lush Radio last year...
Yeah.
Basically said to these girls, oh, I want this kid to get on, I want you to make him feel as awkward as you can on radio. And so, yeah. And then
they
and
succeeded.
They succeeded in trying
so
to...
So what did they say that made you feel awkward? What sort of things?
There was one moment I do remember where the girl just turned round to me out of the blue, out of nowhere, and just went, so, do you like to make a girl come first, or do you like to come first? And it was like, I fuck, what? Where did that even come from?
Oh my god.
What was your answer, Sam? I think all your listeners want to hear.
I think I said I'll let them because I'm a giver.
Oh, yeah, Sam.
That is one fond memory I have from that. But yeah, anyway, so that's going to be coming up this Sunday night, we'll be on, but I think it kicks off on Friday. There's a 69-hour broadcast if anyone does want to tune into that. But this week, for us three guys to discuss, is holidays and travelling.
Beautiful.
Exactly. Because we've all just been on holiday, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We were very far away.
So far away. It did feel like we were quite far away, to be honest.
Yeah, even though it was, like, what, half an hour drive?
Yeah. Hey, a holiday is a holiday, though, isn't it? We had... Basically, we decided to live in someone else's house for the weekend whilst his parents went away, and it was probably the nicest family home I've been in a long time.
Oh, so cosy.
So good.
You're totally insulting your parents there, Sam.
If they
listen to this back.
Yeah. Well, you know. God, I'm sweating. It's hot in here.
Jake, if you're listening, your house is amazing, man.
It was. And it don't matter where we sort of rock up to, we made it a shithole anyways.
Oh, my God. I remember after, like, just 2 hours, it was fucked. When we came back from the traditional English pub, you know, we just completely demolished the living room. Like, it was just full of, like, fucking lint wraps, you know, fuck Doritos,
yeah.
Salsa. There's what else did we have?
Empty jars of salsa everywhere. We had, there was just wrappers. There was things
like curry.
Apple crumble.
Apple crumble.
Yeah.
Ice cream. Everything you can imagine. Everything you can imagine.
I don't know.
We helped clean it up, though. I mean, you were there with a Hoover, Sam.
I did, yeah.
When we went shooting Jake with the Nerf gun.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even his Nerf gun, was it? It was his mum's boyfriend's or whatever, which we've lost a couple of the darts for. But, you know, boys will be boys. When you get given a gun like that, you're going to fire it all over the place.
Of course.
I took a bullet to the eye. So.
Wounded in the line of duty. Oh,
that was, yeah.
I remember that.
But, obviously, like, the thing is with Jake, when obviously he let us go to his house, is that he's one of the very, very few people that I've ever met in my life that is proud of where they come from.
Oh, yeah.
He is
so proud. Those Leicester boners he gets.
He does.
Just
he gets
unreal.
We do call him Leicester boners because there's just so many things that he just...
All right, he was asking if we could take us on a tour around some of the hot spots before we went home.
Yeah. He wanted to tour the area more than we did.
I know. He was loving every single minute of our stay. You know, to be honest, though, he does a really good job of making Leicester look like a very nice city. Like, I don't, like, he's shown me some pictures that he's uploaded on Instagram, and I'm like, oh, whoa, that actually looks quite nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, Instagram pictures can be very misleading, of course. I mean, all those effects that you people add in the pictures, it's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam, do you feel like where you come from is a bit of a shithole? Because I do a bit.
Yeah. You know? It's like, everyone's like, oh, where are you from? So, yeah, it's a shithole. Yeah, it's, like, yeah. Well, it's shit. Don't go there. Alright,
I get it. Isn't the whole meant to be like the city of like culture or something?
Yeah, oh man, it switches around though. I mean, what's Hull got to offer that we should pop down and see, Sam? You should sell it to us a bit.
Yeah.
Apart from the chip spice.
Well, yeah, the chip spice.
Oh, that's a massive reason for me to visit Hull. The chip spice, it's such a good. Oh yeah, my god.
The chip spice is definitely like, it's,
I think, up there.
I was trying to explain it to people here, and it was just like, what? So, like, what is it? And it was like, well, it's just spice you put on your chips. It was like, well, what do you mean? It's just, you know, it's like, is it like, it's like paprika? It's like, no, it's chip spice. I was like, when any takeaway you go to, they just immediately just put spice on your chips. And everyone's like, really? I was like, yeah.
It's a great concept, though, man. Honestly, I mean, I don't understand why it's not in other parts of the UK. Well, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like, literally never heard of chip spice.
Exactly, like, maybe it's so nice, I just don't understand. Why
Hull just has this monopoly over it, like, you know, like, no, it's ours.
But why have a monopoly over one city when you can have a monopoly over an entire country?
Exactly, yeah. So
we need think to about the profitability. Business, Jose. Why don't we start exporting chip spice?
Should we become, like, massive shareholders of that company, whatever company makes those chip spices?
Is it, like, a specific company that makes the chip spice, or is there lots of different brands of
No, it's like just called American Chip Spice.
Well, that's it, man.
Wait, it's American Chip Spice that's only found in Hull.
Well, it claims to be American Chip Spice, but it is essentially from Hull, isn't it? English.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it in America. They probably do it in America.
Well, they do everything in America.
I don't know if it's American.
We need to ask those American students in our film class if they heard of Chip Spice.
That's
something to remember.
Wait,
that's a nice icebreaker as well.
You've got American students in your English
class.
Yeah,
there's like only me.
No, film class.
Oh, film class. Sorry.
Yeah. There's only like me, you, and, well, Josh, the other kid, that are English. And
really?
There's like four Americans.
Oh, wow.
No, it's like one of them's Italian, ain't she?
Oh, yeah, she just don't say a word.
Yeah,
she?
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah,
are many of these people, like, most of them just doing a semester here or something? I assume
something like that.
Yeah, I assume so.
The Americans just sort of come in and then just leave straight away, don't they? Yeah. Like, most sort of international students. Obviously, we made friends with our California friend.
Oh, yeah, Joel.
Big shout out to Joel if he's listening out there.
Yeah, massive shout out to Joel. RIP Joel as well.
Yeah. But going back to our holiday, because I don't know, like, America, will go back on that in a bit. But for the holiday, we did get up to some exciting stuff. We did see the sights of Glenfield near Leicester, the historical place that is, and we visited an abandoned church.
Oh, my God, the church.
At, like, midnight to 1 in the morning.
You did a bit of stunt work, Sam, of the swings.
Oh God, yeah. I don't know why I was being so stupid.
Sam was on fire that night in terms of clumsiness. Like, firstly, what did you do again?
The
fence to get into the church. I have no idea how you survived that fall, considering there were brambles literally all over the floor.
And I went I was like just about face first.
I don't understand. Did you get any like spikes over you, like on your clothes? Right. Really?
I was
alright.
Surprisingly alright, because I did fall like a sack of shit.
You did serve to make it a bit easier for the rest of us to get over there.
Yeah, it was funny though. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. It was, you know, just think of the comical value that, you know, you provided.
That's what I'm doing, you know. I sacrifice myself just to make everyone else laugh. You know? But then obviously there was the swings where we have to find ourselves.
Oh, that was brilliant. That was the best one in my opinion.
Finding ourselves half 1 in the morning on the park, reliving our youth. There was 6 swings for 6 of us. It was perfect. You get to a certain height, and I think, was it you, Callum? It was like, jump.
You have to jump, Sam. You have to jump. You didn't go when it was, like, real high.
Well,
like,
no, because then, thank God, like, I kind of...
You could have made it, man. I mean, you did make it, but it was like you were so surprised at making it that you immediately just fell over.
Yeah, my legs, as soon as I touched the floor, just ceased to work. And
stop, drop, and roll, Sam.
Yeah, I'm having to wear
that for fire.
Yeah. The thing is, I skidded through the mud as well, so now, like, the jacket that I do usually wear, I can't be asked to wash it at the minute, but it's just got mud from the shoulder right down to the bottom.
I remember.
And it all down my trousers.
When we went to the KFC, the service day, oh my God, like, you had fucking mud all over the fucking coat.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever felt more trampy in my entire life than when we walked into that. We went to a service station.
Yeah, the KFC, yeah.
Yeah, despite the fact we were only 15 minutes away from home, we still felt the need to pop into a service station. Because that's what you do.
We went
when
for the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, that was our intention.
Yeah, to go for the Dunkin' Donuts, but found ourselves.
Yeah, we weren't quite late for the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Wasn't a good selection, was it?
Nah.
But the fact that I'd walked in my joggers, or like, aka my give up on life trousers, that were covered in salsa as it was.
You looked like such a tramp,
yeah,
Sam.
I was wearing my big red hoodie, which is basically my Ladies in the Bowl hoodie now.
Yeah, it is. And the poncho as well.
Yeah, I do well, but that's at home. Thank God I didn't go into the service station with a poncho. I should have just gone for the full shebang, shouldn't I?
Yeah, mate, I'm trying to convince Sam to wear his poncho to like a film seminar or something, but he's so reluctant to wear it.
Why wouldn't you? Okay, Sam, I mean, I would literally be willing to wear it to our film seminar.
Honestly,
on a Friday.
Just to be quiet.
Exactly.
Why not, Sam? Wear the damn thing.
I don't see the massive deal, man. It's literally a film seminar. People there are just completely zoned out anyways.
Have you seen people wearing stranger stuff?
Yeah. For example, Beans. Come on. I mean, Beans used to wear very strange things sometimes. And did he give a shit? No, he didn't.
You can wear whatever the shit you
Yeah,
want
people to. Are not going to judge you, man.
The thing is,
your face.
If you come to uni, though, being the quirky guy, you can definitely pull it off. If you come, I dress pretty plain Jane-ish, really. Just a hoodie and trousers every day. Simple.
Keep it simple, you know.
It's simple.
It's not
so
bad.
If I just rock up in a hoodie, think I'm just going to try something new. So I was like, what the fuck is this kid doing? Why is he wearing a poncho?
Okay, but think about it, Sam, right? How many people will you come across in that uni day that you will know and will know that you're like normal Sam rather than quirky poncho Sam? You'll just be coming across strangers and will only know you as quirky
exactly.
poncho Sam.
Imagine after
and
that
exactly.
memory will stick with yeah. them as, whoa, that guy was quirky. Yeah. He had a poncho.
Mate, honestly, Sam, I would do it, man. Do it. Just go for it.
Just imagine 3 years at uni and no one knows who I am and I walk out after like the last sort of semester as poncho guy. Imagine, I was poncho guy.
Always in his poncho.
Like, freshers will be talking about you in 2 years' time, thinking, you know.
Remember that guy that was
always
in his poncho?
Remember that poncho guy from first year? Yeah. Mate, you'd become a legend. You'll become a legend. And then you'd come back a few years later, you know, to relive those shebang moments, and they'll see you wearing a poncho again. You should wear the poncho again in 2 years' time. But, oh my god, you're the poncho guy for, like, freshers.
Yeah, we should start taking lots of pictures of Sam in a poncho as if we've been doing it over the 3 years rather than. We can
Great
retroactively
idea.
Make you poncho guy. We can write history.
We'll
so.
Make you the new Beans, but just obviously the poncho version
poncho
of Beans.
Guy.
Yeah.
I'm tempted now to actually start rocking. It's warming to me.
I mean,
okay, so you're
going
to come in the poncho on Friday? Yes.
Come on.
I'll do odds
come
on.
On.
Yes. Odds on. Odds on.
Nah, Sam. Come on, man. It's Friday. What do you guys have on a Friday? So tell me. Let me know, Callum.
It's British popular culture since 19 whatever.
45. Yeah.
So wait, it's a seminar then?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to watch anything?
Yeah. It's a 3-hour seminar.
Well, you watch something.
Yeah.
Mate.
Oh, come on. James Chapman won't care if you're in a poncho.
Oh, fuck it.
Sam.
Wearing a poncho.
Oh, yeah,
on
yeah,
no,
no, you need to give Callum a handshake. Otherwise, I'm not believing this. Okay, I'm witnessing this handshake.
There we go. We're shook on it now.
Okay, I've witnessed you two having
a forfeit, Sam, if you don't turn up in the poncho.
Well, I can't make the forfeit. You guys got to
yeah,
make the forfeit.
Okay. Are we going to make one up now, or should we wait until...
No, announce it live on air. So then, once this is recorded, and obviously people can see that, you
What's a good forfeit if he doesn't turn up in the poncho?
Oh, man. You know, there's so many things I can think of, but not right now. So, I think right now my imagination, you know, is not very, very limited.
I'm just thinking, what's the level of things that you would do if you won't wear a poncho? Because, I mean, that's not like high up.
Go to my seminar naked.
Well, the forfeit can be something involving the poncho as well. We haven't made any sort of constraints or any assumptions, you know. We have all sorts of, you know, freedom in terms of what we make the forfeit be. So we can make him wear a poncho somewhere else in campus, for example. Library, you know. Go for a good revision sesh wearing a poncho. Why not?
But then that'd mean I'd really branch out as the poncho guy.
Exactly. Well, that is our objective. That is our ultimate aim, to make you be the poncho guy. So, you know, so you've got two choices. Sorry.
If you ever find his Facebook left open, change him to Sam Pancho Guy Shaw.
Oh yeah, I definitely will make sure.
And his profile picture to him in a poncho.
Yeah, so I think I've got a few pictures on my camera where he's wearing a poncho. I think I've got quite a few there.
Whether you like this or not, Sam, we're doing it.
We're making you be the poncho guy, Sam.
Right, okay, then. I'm not officially the poncho guy, then.
You brought this upon yourself.
Think about it, Sam. Okay, you've got one semester left at university. One semester. What difference is it going to make to your life? Being the poncho guy for one semester. You're going to go to Australia next year anyways, whatever, you know, doing all these crazy adventures, and you won't be giving a crap about what people think of Leicester, you know,
you'll
in a year's time.
You'll be telling your grandkids about this one semester,
if anything,
Sam.
If anything...
And then you'll go to this dusty old case and you'll just blow it up and they'll go around it.
Whilst you're wearing a poncho.
No, the poncho's inside the case, Jose.
No, but he's wearing a poncho at the time as well, you know.
I see.
The original poncho.
Yeah.
Wearing one since.
Yeah. I'll hand it down to my grandkid as well. Here you go.
You're okay.
And then just hand it over like... So. Alright, I accept doing the poncho in my seminar.
So you've got two options to take, Sam. First option, you go to your seminar on Friday wearing the poncho. Second option you can take is you wear the poncho in the library.
I think if he wears it in the library, he has to have like some kind of langar study session.
Yeah, but the thing is, I was thinking about this, right? If he goes to the library, especially now, it would be pretty damn hot inside.
Okay, how about this, right? He's just got to sit outside the library, like on the floor, in the poncho for half an hour.
Literally not doing anything.
Yeah.
Okay. No, wait. Well, he can sort of pull something off. Like at least get his phone out and look like he's texting someone, or like look like he's waiting for someone. You know what I mean?
Okay. How about?
I like how you're talking like I'm not in the room.
You don't decide the forfeit.
Yeah, Sam, you don't decide what you're going
to
do.
I just have to sit
Me and Callum were elaborating this
okay,
plan.
How okay. about we allow him a calculator?
That's the only instrument he can use throughout the 30 minutes he's waiting, you know, outside the library.
Yeah, in the poncho.
Oh my God. Okay, Sam. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. All right, so that's my problem. If I don't go,
that's
to my
your second option.
If I don't go to my seminar in a poncho, I'm gonna sit outside the library on the floor.
Wearing a poncho, with
a calculator
on your hand.
Yeah.
And you can do whatever you want with the calculator. You can add, subtract, multiply. Will it give you all sorts
even
of freedom?
You can even divide.
You can do all sort of crazy shit with a calculator, Sam.
Think about it. The thing is, though, someone's gonna go up to me and go, "What are you doing?" I'll be like. I do film in English.
Can't you see I'm calculating?
Oh my God, Sam.
The thing is, like, there's a part of me that's like, I kind of just want to do that anyway. Like, just see what people's reaction is.
Exactly. Think about it. It would be very, very interesting. I mean, whatever option you decide to take, both of them will be quite funny. I'll say the latter one will be definitely more funny than the other one. But still, both will still be very, very funny.
Yes. All right, I accept the challenge then of wearing a poncho.
Beautiful. That's
you
what I
like hope to you don't forget the poncho on Friday, Sam.
I'll make sure he doesn't forget.
I've got.
Well, I kind of want him to forget, so then he has to do the second one.
Actually, I'll make sure he forgets.
Oh, you make sure just clock him around.
It's basically going to get to like 3 o'clock on Friday when my seminar starts, and Jose will be wearing my poncho. And he'd be like, nah.
Sam, why are you giving me all these ideas, Sam? Are you an idiot? Do you actually want
to... poncho, Jose.
You're basically telling me right now, Jose, I want to be outside the library with a calculator in my hand wearing a poncho. That's what you're basically telling me right now. Implicitly telling me this. You are?
Sure, yeah. Well, I kind of fucked up there, really.
No, you need to keep a real tight hold on the poncho until Friday.
I will,
make sure no one gets that.
I'm just going to keep it on my trousers at all times.
Are you sure Jose can't get to it?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him, to be fair. If I am going to wear it, though, I'm going to have to wash it, though, because I know I had a ripple, and I sat on it and melted a load of chocolate on it. So, I'm still wearing it, so I look like an absolute tramp when I got all this food all over it.
Oh, Sammy, I'm looking forward to this, to be honest. To be honest, considering where you say you've got Americans and an Italian girl in your seminar.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, I don't think they'll give a shit. You know, in all honesty, like, what will the American guy say? What will that Italian girl say? I mean...
She doesn't say anything anymore.
Exactly, there you go. I mean, if she does say something, she'll probably keep it to herself. and just think, what the hell's this weirdo doing? That's it. She won't say anything
beyond
that.
Imagine if that's the only thing she ever said in our entire 7 hours. Looked at me and went, what are you wearing a poncho for? That was it.
I'd feel proud of myself, you know, actually making her say something for the first time.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Maybe that's the only reason I might actually wear my poncho now, to try and get a reaction out of her. I might actually just start wearing more and more kooky things to see if she actually asks me about it.
I give up with the coat challenge. Oh, I'm starting to feel the warmth coming in. It's fine. I'll put it.
Yeah, for everyone out there who don't know what's going on, we challenged Jose before to see how long he could go into the show.
I've got no sweat over me right at the minute. It's just that I was sort of like predicting the sweat. I knew it was gonna come sooner or later, like 10-15 minutes, you know. Niagara Falls on my forehead. But you know, I'm just avoiding it.
You've done well. You're not complaining. I mean, when was it? It was 2 weeks ago when we had the horrendous show. You were just rocking backwards and forwards going, oh my God. It was so hot in here.
It was so hot.
You don't deal well with heat though, do you?
Well, not specifically like on my face, to be honest. No, other parts of my body I'm all right. It's just my face.
How would you survive then if you were to go like traveling in Africa somewhere?
Well, I'd be sweating, obviously, and I'll just try and get my...
Would it be unbearable? Because this is just, like, a radio booth.
The thing is...
Imagine if you were, like, on the equator. The thing is,
the heat in Africa is a very sort of... it's a very dry sort of heat. It's not humid. So, you know, as long as you have something, like, something to protect you from the sun, and you'll be fine, you know. It's when humidity starts coming in when you actually start feeling the sweat actually not going away.
We'd probably have something to drink for trekking across Africa as well, whereas in this booth we have nothing.
Yeah,
we're worse off here, Sam, than we would be if we were trekking.
The whole myth of drinking something cold and refreshing to counter the sweat is completely wrong, you know, like it's not true, because if anything, drinking more makes you sweat more in the long term.
So I should stop drinking.
Well, if you should stop drinking in the situations where you're extremely sweaty. Only have a few sips, because if you have a lot of water, that water will have to, you know, leave your body somehow. And considering you're sweating, your body will say, well, instead of pissing, why don't I just sweat it out instead? And then you'll start sweating even more. So it's, you know, that's why in sports, a lot of athletes have a few sips instead of just going like, you know, just fucking downing the entire bottle, because otherwise they'll just be fucking sweating their asses off whilst they play whatever sport.
Well, the more you know, I mean...
Oh, I was thinking the same.
Yeah. I mean, last week we played football on Tuesday.
We're not athletes, though.
Well, I was sweating on the car journey there. You know, I was that tired. You know what I mean? And then as soon as I've ran for 2 minutes, I've just got this 2-litre bottle of water.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely, it's surprisingly brutal, considering how small the pitch is, yet, like, 5 minutes. I'm
absolutely
knackered.
Yeah, man.
Fucking hell.
Like, no one likes going in goal, really, to be fair, because you want to be out, don't you? You want to be, like, kicking the ball, but, like, after 2 minutes, you're like, I'm going in. I'm absolutely knackered. I need to stand near this goalpost now just to, like, catch my breath.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Goalkeeper can be pretty fun, to be fair.
Callum, to be honest, you're quite good at being a goalkeeper. Like, you did some decent saves.
I just wish I wasn't a short ass man.
Oh, yeah, but come on, in that pitch, I mean, the height is completely irrelevant.
That's the thing, it's perfect for that pitches, but I could never make it as a, like, legit goalkeeper, because could never reach any of the crosses or anything.
Maybe you should just become a professional goalkeeper for that specific sort of pitch, you know, for that sort of football.
I'll start up my 5-a-side professional career now.
Yeah, as the goalkeeper. You're at, like, a brick wall, to be fair, you were doing well.
Yeah, you were doing really well, Callum.
Until you smashed one past me, Jose.
No. But back onto our little travelling thing. If you could go anywhere to travel, where is it you'd go?
You first, Callum.
Well, there's a couple. I mean, Niagara Falls is a big one everyone wants to hit.
Beautiful. I'd totally recommend.
But really, I just want to go to one of the points in Scandinavian countries to see the Northern Lights, really. That's like...
Yeah, that would be it.
First on my list.
Really, really nice, yeah.
Have you been there?
I've been to Norway, but I haven't been all the way to the tip of Norway. I've been, like, to sort of central Norway, southern Norway. So I didn't just... So, no, to answer your question, I haven't seen the Northern Lights. But I'd love to one day, yeah.
The thing is with you though is you know your countries and your stuff, like for everyone out there, Jose.
Jose's gonna talk for hours about countries.
He said before this, like, make sure we talk about countries because then I could talk for hours and hours about countries. Like
An hour. I'm not gonna get bored of saying this. An hour.
Because Jose was in the top 50 people in the world for geography.
Not in the world.
Yeah.
Why do you say this, Sam?
Because you bite every time.
What does that even mean?
Jose is like one of the top... He's in the top 50 for
basically, there was an inter-school geography competition in Spain, right? So the best students of geography would, you know, all unite. They would all unite, you know, and right and...
for a special conference.
Yeah, yeah. No, honestly, okay. Basically, it was like some sort of like... test or slash competition, geography competition, to see who was the best at geography out of all the schools in Spain, right? And every single student represented their school, so I represented my school, and I was in the top 50 for the people who took part of that sort of like geography competition, into geography Spanish competition. So that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm nowhere near.
Where did you come?
I think it was either 46 or 47. That was in the bottom of the top 50. Of the top 50.
That's it. But that's it. It don't matter what number you always say top. Like, even if you came 99th, you'd be like top 100. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, you'd always like, say that. Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm in like the top 1 million of people doing geography.
Yeah. The top percentage.
Yeah. The top 100%. That is like, that is why you can talk about countries forever and ever and ever.
Well, yeah, I've always just been interested in geography in general. Like, I was actually considering doing like a geography degree before I considered doing like any like engineering or maths. Yeah, in year 9, I was like, I want to do geography, and then my dad was like, you know, oh, why would you want to do geography? Blah blah blah. You know, being a typical, you know, dad, like, oh, I want you to do a fucking, you know, engineering or medicine or anything like that. And I was like, you know what, like, why not? I'll do engineering instead. Yeah. I was an idiot. I should have just gone for what I felt, you know, at the time.
Your passion.
My passion, geography.
But then you actually just took a big middle finger up to your dad and went, no, fuck you, dad, I'm going to do exactly what you did. And now you're doing actuarial...
Oh, yeah.
You're an actuarial scientist now.
I would have never imagined myself doing this. You know, never in my life. But, oh, yeah, talking about the countries that we'd love to visit, well, Japan, simply, just... Definitely Japan. I mean, I just think it's such an awesome country in general. I mean, it's not for everyone. I mean, for people who avoid crowded places, it's definitely not the place to go. But yeah. I just find it extremely interesting, like how many people live in that country and how at the same time how organized it is.
Yeah, and it's a very, very different culture.
So different. And like China, for example, is overpopulated in, you know, many, many cities. And it's nowhere near as organized as it is in Japan. And I just think, like, how did the Japanese people become this disciplined? Like, so... And sometimes it's even scary how disciplined they are. It's almost as if they were, like, robotic.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they do also have quite high suicide rates.
Oh, yeah, 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 definitely,
quite,
yeah.
And quite recently, like, they'd been having problems with, basically, people procreating because they're literally working too hard. So, like, the population isn't growing as it should.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. But, you know, I think the reason why there's such a high, you know, suicidal rate is because mainly it's so big. I mean, Tokyo is so big and there's so many people that some people just, they just don't really talk to anyone else. They live in their own little apartment, like micro apartment. And apart from that, they just don't communicate to anyone else. And then that's when the loneliness comes in. And then, you know.
I think part of it as well is, like, I've got a very good friend who's from Japan, moved here when he was reasonably young. But he said in the school system, they were, like, super harsh.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And, like, super strict compared to over here.
Yeah, yeah. The East Asian, you know, academic culture is so different compared to what it is. And, you know, well, just in Western society, I mean, from the very young age, Chinese, Koreans, Japanese, they all get taught of how to do things. You have to do it that way. Yeah. You have to, you know, do your hardest, try your hardest, study for like these many hours a day. You know, even since like the age of 6,
you have to get to this
university. You get brought up with that mentality, and gets to a point where you just become so overwhelmed with so many things.
Yeah.
And
see, this guy is basically he's at Royal Trinity Music College. Like, he plays the violin, and like he's that good because he's so disciplined, like practicing every day, like
setting up. That's so funny you talk about that because I also know a Japanese guy who plays plays the violin as well. He's extremely talented with a violin. And it's crazy because it's that is the truth. I mean, a lot of Japanese students, they get brought up thinking that you have to play an instrument, you have to do these many hours of like math.
Yeah, we'd be like, come out, Tomo, man, you can... A couple hours now, man. Like, this is my practice time. Can't do shit.
When you love to be that disciplined, though.
I know. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel most of all, I lack discipline in the words of Eric Cartman. I really lack discipline.
Yeah. But would you want to be that disciplined? I mean, surely you want a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Because there's a limit with what you want to be. Like, I don't know. Like, well, at least for me, I wouldn't want to be that disciplined.
Depends on your personality, I guess.
Yeah,
and
true.
And how you've been brought up with it.
Yeah, of course. But, I don't know. In my opinion, I would feel a bit, like, uncomfortable with myself if I were to be, like, sort of, that's so... Because I like to have a bit of freedom, you know, with what I do with my life. And,
yeah.
I mean, being that disciplined sort of, like, restricts what you do in your everyday, you know, day-to-day, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So,
I'd love to have the sort of work ethic, is it, though? Like, just when you actually have to get shit done.
Oh, yeah,
you're just
bang.
Because, I mean, look at me today. I've had a horrendous day for
God, you have, Sam. Today was an appalling performance for me.
The fact that I was like, I'm going to do this, and I didn't do anything. I was meant to be in library for 2 till 6.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sam, but I told him, right? He was getting ready to go to the library, and I told him, Sam, you're just lying to yourself by thinking that you're going to go to the library and do more work than you would do at home. You're actually lying to yourself.
You know what? I'm the same with that, which is why, like, I never think it's a good idea to plan to go and do work at the library. Just make sure you have your books at home, man, and then, like, you can literally pick it up and it's there. But if you got to set out from your house, you got to get ready, and you got to find you got to go... That'll be too much effort in your head, Sam, rather than the books just being there.
Well, it clearly was too much effort for me today.
I don't know. In my opinion, I find the library unnecessary. I mean, obviously, I understand people who can't focus whatsoever at home, due to whatever reasons. But you know, I just don't see any sort of like benefits from going to the library. I mean, why would I go to the library when I can do everything at home, everything that I need? I mean, that obviously, you know. Depends on your course, whatever. But for me personally, I just don't see the point of going to the library.
Well, the other thing I needed to go because when I'm at home, it's like
we actually need to go this week as well, don't we? Because we need to look at those comic books for the British thing.
Yeah, this is how hard our degree is. We have to read comics. can't believe it.
I feel so bad for you.
To be fair, in my like modern European fiction, we're doing like Kafka and Bulgakov, so like. That's the opposite of the comics, so it's not completely just fun enough.
Well, yeah, for you, I mean,
you got your writing screenplays on.
Yeah, but what do I have to do for writing screenplays? Oh, yeah, I have to pick a favourite scene in a film and then discuss it next week for a presentation.
That would be perfect, honestly.
I've decided to choose Interstellar. I've chosen the Interstellar scene
Great choice.
What I'm going with so far is where, you know, these viewing the video takes back and it's just, like, emotional.
Ah, that scene.
I almost cried.
Oh man, it's a crazy scene. It's emotional as hell, isn't it? I mean, but it's a great scene though. I mean, undeniably great film, man.
Little bit of a rip off of 2001.
Never really seen that film or heard of it, so I can't really comment.
2001: A Space Odyssey.
Oh yeah, okay, okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah, okay, Space Odyssey. Sorry. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I probably saw it years ago, but I don't really remember it, to be fair. But I decided to go with Interstellar, so that's what we're doing. Going back to productivity, though, especially in my room, it's that sort of, I've got like that awful routine at the minute of I'll sit down to do work, I'll have a cup of tea, I'll drink my tea, I'll look at something, I'll be like, I could really do with another brew, go down, make a brew, come up, have my brew, really need a pee now, oh no, I need another brew. And then it's like,
standard, except you can add the occasional cigarette into the mix.
Yeah, that's for me. That's for me, definitely. But I don't know. I mean, for me, I find myself to be very, you know, easily distracted sort of person. But if I want to get something ready, I mean, something done, I'll fucking go for it, honestly. Like, I'm so stubborn in that sense. If I want to do something, I'll fucking just fucking do it in hours until I just
It's just getting it started.
Yeah, getting it started is the hardest part. But once you're in there, once you get into the zone, that's when I'll just go for it.
That sums you up brilliantly. You are so, like, one thing at a time. And it's like, I remember it's like, Jose, take the pins out. I was like, oh no, I have to do something in 10 minutes. It's like, yeah, 10 minutes time. You're like, I must do this. It's like, no, Jose, it's like, no, I cannot.
Mate, I must do. If I fucking set myself an objective, whatever task, I'll fucking try and do as hard as I can with that specific task. Yeah. I'm so stuck. No matter how insignificant it is, I'll fucking try and do it. You know, that's usually what I try. That's my life philosophy, in a way. You know, summarized, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe.
I kind of respect that though, because like you even point out to how distracted I get. I was telling you like, this is the way that I gotta do. I'm gonna go for library, and then I was like, oh wait, one minute, I'll show you this. Then I started showing you little like Thomas the Tank Engine videos before I went to like the library. It's like, and he was like, you get so distracted. I was like, I don't know, what am I actually doing? Like, what am I doing? Like,
you completely lied to yourself. Okay, so he ended up going to library after 3 hours of planning on going to the library. Okay, so basically, it's a long story, but I came back from my lectures at 12 p.m. right. You know, midday, came back, he had just woken up, right? He came down looking typical Sam Shaw with his fucking dressing gown and with a fucking cup of tea, you know, and his hair all messy like that. He sat down with me and Amy Mayer, we talked for a bit, he kept saying that he had to do work, he mentioned it a few times. Amy finally left, free of distractions, went back to his room. He said he was going to go to the library. Well, you had a shower as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did have a shower.
Had a shower, and then he kept telling me he was going to go to the library. Library, yeah, I'm going to go to the library. And then 2 hours later, I came back, went to the toilet, went to his room. I'm still getting ready to go to the library.
I had a phone call.
Did you make the phone call?
No, but I did. I went to the library. I walked to the top floor. I went, no spaces. Then I came back.
You came back after half an hour.
But because I knew that the visit was so short, I was like, well, I can't just go straight back home. I had to distract myself. I had to take a walk. So I rang my mum and distracted myself. I walked around the block a few times. Like, I was like, I can't go back into my house because I know they're just going to give me loads of shit.
Oh, such a wonderful waste of time.
It's nice to catch up with my mum, but like, you know, when you get in, I sat down, you'd gone to your lecture, and it was 5 o'clock, and I was like, what the fuck have I done today?
And then in another few hours, the Arsenal game's on, so exactly. I mean...
Oh yeah, I brought some people around as well. He watched the game with us, and now here he is, socially awkward. At least currently you're being productive.
Yeah, I plan my show.
Yeah.
We all have days like that, to be fair.
Yeah, of course, man. I mean, that's why, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, I haven't done anything that special today either, you know. I've been quite, you know.
It's just you've got a certain way of going about it.
It's just his way of slacking is what makes look more, you know.
My way is just, I'll be like, okay, I'll watch one episode of The Sopranos while I'm eating my Cheerios, and that'll get me set for the day, and then it's like, oh, I've finished the season, what time? Oh, fuck, man, it's like 7 o'clock.
Cheerios. Your Cheerios. Oh, man, I can't have, I really want you to, like, write, like, not a book, but a mini, like, short story of, like, how you eat your food. Like, what diet you have, man. I'm really interested in, like, you know, your diet. Like,
You don't want to know, Jose. You don't want to know, man.
Yeah, didn't you, when it last week, you just pretty much had pizza every night.
So what do you have for dinner today, Callum?
Do I have to go through this, Jose?
Yeah, you do, Callum, you do.
Okay, I woke up pretty late, so I just had sausage sandwich. Yeah. And then I went over to my friends and had mac chicken. That's it for the day. Yeah.
Not bad, to be honest. I had a cheese and ham toastie on a Chinese takeaway, so...
He broke it. he gave up Chinese takeaway for Lent and he broke it tonight.
Mate, 2 weeks, that's not a bad effort.
For Chinese takeaway.
That's not a bad effort, man. Oh, Matt had his chocolate a few days after he said it was going to go.
What is Jesus thinking of you looking down now?
Oh, I know. I feel so bad right now. Fucking, I won't even be able to fall asleep tonight, to be honest. Fucking hell. That's how bad I'm feeling.
The thing is, I can't point fingers, though, because I said I'd give up bread. And I think I just...
That's so stupid.
That is the worst.
It's very hard.
Oh, my God.
Bread
Sam.
Is like the linchpin. of like everything.
It's an essential item. Food, like milk, bread, you know, water is just essential.
Yeah, like when I had no money, I literally had like £2 left in my pocket. The two things I brought were bread and milk. Those are literally like two things you can't do without.
Well, the thing is, like, giving up bread was stupid because just before I have a meal on the night, and I'm like, I can't wait for it to cook. I just need to eat something. I just have bread and butter, like a couple of slices of bread and butter, like just on the. So the fact that I said I'll give it up was just the most stupid thing I've ever said in my life.
Yeah, I've just realized this year that my my diet this year has been so bad compared to last year. Like last year, I was really getting into the gym too much, and I was like, all right, I'll make myself some fucking, you know, like bacon, whatever, for like lunch. Then I'll make myself this for like, you know, for dinner, like massive meal with soup and everything, mussels and all sort of weird. And then for like, just before going to bed, I would make myself even more sausages. And I would be like, I would put a lot of effort into what I make. And nowadays, it's literally just fucking shove the pizza into the oven most of the time.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. You got it.
It's so much effort. It's so much effort.
I've got other things I should be doing, but also aren't doing.
Yeah. I'm thinking,
this is going to cut down on my TV time.
That's it. Like, you think, if you're doing work, you'll think, oh, I've got to cook tea, don't I? It puts you off because I've got all this work that I should be doing, but you won't cook and then you won't do work. So there's no point.
You know what? I made a decision to sacrifice something big for productivity.
What?
I've finally kicked a habit I've had for, like, years, which is FIFA.
I thought you were going to say masturbating.
That doesn't affect me half as much as FIFA, man. Oh, what? Because it shows you the hours that you've had game time as well. And when I've looked at it and I've seen how many full days I've spent playing FIFA.
God, how much is it?
Oh, man, like, on, well, 15, I had, like, 1,500 hours.
1,500 hours.
I only got about 800 or so on 16. But, I mean, cumulatively, since I've been on it since, like, 99, I think it was, on the Nintendo 64. And then just been getting it like every year.
Yeah.
But I think it takes too much of my time, and it makes me too angry as well.
Oh god, yeah. Yeah, I can completely understand
rage.
That.
I've actually destroyed controllers.
Did you actually?
No, yeah, I've destroyed controllers because of playing Call of Duty like back in the day in World War II, Black Ops, you know.
Oh no, I'm more of a wall or floor puncher if I get to that. That level.
See, I've been
like,
trying to do that.
Just punch it,
but when there's nothing around,
you just smash your pad.
The pad I'm using at the moment, like, it's basically got pieces coming out that I've sellotaped together.
Oh my god!
It's just a visit, Sam.
Yeah. Jose is looking at the list of what I've done.
Every time I've came on and you've had a list, it basically started on the list and then did nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much
this
what.
Is more
just in case.
Yeah, for the moments where we kind of got, and then it's like, okay, I'll just talk about this. Like, for instance, I've got traveling as the thing, and then underneath it says Chinese housemate in case I needed a story about stuff. Because I'll tell the story actually quite interesting. Because this is going back to the very very first term of uni. Our Chinese housemate needed help booking all his like train and plane tickets to get back to China for Christmas.
Alex. I remember.
Yeah, Alex.
Where was he from, specifically? Hong Kong?
No, he told us on one of the very first nights we were there, he was like, oh, I'm from Dudley. And I went, oh, yeah. And he went, oh, you know it. I was like, no, I don't know.
Wait, was he actually from China, like mainland China?
Yeah. He's from China.
Oh, fair enough.
Definitely
then,
from China. Anyway, so he was asking for help to sort of like get his tickets and stuff booked. And one of the lads we were living with, Viv, had helped him out. And I think there was something ridiculous, like a 2-minute change on the London Underground. Or he had to get from it, probably from the underground to like Heathrow within like a tiny amount of time was like he's definitely not making that. So it was like just like imagining like where the hell have we sent our like Chinese flatmate to. I was just thinking this could be like a great like holiday special of like Alex's Christmas adventure where he's ended up in like Baghdad or something.
Did you ever like speak to him over Facebook or anything and find out what happened?
No, it was there when we came back, but whether or not he made it to China or not, I don't know. By the time he got to China, it was like, oh shit, my flight to go back to England is tomorrow. So yeah, that's the story of the Chinese housemate. But unfortunately, he's left now. He's gone to Keele University.
What was Keele University?
Near Stoke.
All right.
Yeah, what a trooper he was, because we used to wreck that flat. And I remember coming in one morning after, like, we had, like, a pre-drinks, and, like, the flat was an absolute tip. And he sat there on this low chair on our tiny little coffee table, eating his dumplings as he does every day, but with his knees touching his ears, and just like bottles and smashed like plastic cups everywhere. And he's just like morning, and he goes, because you just can't see.
Did he ever go out with you guys?
No. Never came out with us. We offered him.
Who did he hang out with?
He did have friends. he brought a girl round, and so he took...
Go on, Alex.
I know, go on, Alex. He brought a girl round and took a chair from the living room into his room, but we never saw that chair or that girl ever again. So, for all we know, she's still in his room.
I think I never ever saw Alex, you know. You showed me a picture of him, like, you know, with the moustache or something.
Oh, what, where I'd, I took a picture of him on Snapchat and then drew on him.
Yeah.
I could probably count on both hands how many times I saw him in, like, a whole year of living there. Like,
really?
Yeah, I barely saw him. Like, unless he's just stood in the kitchen cooking dumplings or...
You know, I reckon he probably had friends somewhere else. I assume he hung out with other people, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, other parts of Opal Court or whatever.
He didn't cause us any trouble, though. He was a very well-trained Chinese flatmate, you know. Yeah. But, as you mentioned, I do have a list of places to visit, according to Rough Guides. I got this, got this off today. I'll do it in reverse order. So we got 10, which is Agra in India. I think it's Agra. We've got 9, Vancouver, Canada. And then in 8, we've got Hull in England.
In particular, Sam's mum's house.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, apologise. But then we got Amsterdam in 7th place, which is like a place that I really, really want to go.
Were you being serious about Hull?
Yeah. Like, Rough Guys, I just put Hull as the 8th place you got.
Wait. What were the two above it again?
Vancouver, Canada, Agra, India. Wait. That's 10 for 9.
Wait, really? Hull is over Vancouver?
Yeah.
Why? Who's written this? Who's done this, list?
Well, sure, mate. Have you ever been to
Hull? Isn't Vancouver, like, where there's all the sick places to ski and stuff?
Well, yeah, Vancouver's in British Columbia. I have no idea there's a good skiing place in Vancouver, to be honest. I've got no idea. I've got a friend who lives there, Vancouver, around Vancouver, but I don't think there's a lot. Is there? Is it good for skiing? I mean, there's a lot of water linked around and stuff. Like,
they seem to be linked, but I could be talking out my ass.
No idea.
And anyway, keep going, Sam.
Yeah, so
I was just surprised at Hull's place on the list, like, that you haven't legit put it in yourself.
It's 8, and I did this. Honestly, God, this.
Were you as surprised as we are?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hull. Like, I was like, Hull.
Is there anywhere specific in Hull that it's saying, or is it just...
I literally got the list off the article. It did have the picture of the deep, though.
Was Hessel.
Hessel?
Yeah.
That's where I live.
Yeah.
Yeah, where is that? What, on the list?
Yeah,
a place to visit. Well, I kind of, that's just in Hull as all. But Hessel's probably 11th, to be fair, if we're going specifically for that. In 7th, we've got Amsterdam. In 6th, we've got Nashville, USA. In 5th, we've got, I want to say, Wrocław in Poland. Is that right, Jose? You're the countryman.
Say it in some kind of accent, and I'm sure you'll be fine.
Warsaw or what?
It says Wrocław.
Wrocław. It sounds familiar, actually, but to be honest, like, no. I know Gdansk. I know Gdansk, you know, and thingy.
Corners, you're meant to be like
Warsaw.
You're in like the top
10. I've heard of Wrocław before. I don't know anything about that city, but I've heard of it before, yeah.
Then there's... I had to ask you how to pronounce this. I feel stupid. Ljubljana.
No, Ljubljana.
Ljubljana. Yeah. In Slovenia. Ljubljana in Slovenia.
So I'm sure from Hull.
Yeah,
it's a place of culture.
The traveller.
The thing is, when I go travel around the world, I'm going to just get a picture of me at the sign of welcome to Ljubljana. Yeah. And then in 3rd place, we've got Seoul. Or Seoul.
Seoul.
From South Korea.
Yeah.
That's where Psy's from, isn't it? The Gangnam Style guy.
Yeah, he's from South Korea.
Yeah, I know that. That's my fact. See, I'm not all stupid. I know about Gangnam Style. Come on. Then we got Mexico City, in Mexico, funnily enough.
Interesting.
What a coincidence, you know. And then in number one, we got Reykjavik. In Iceland. Yeah. So
I don't really agree with that list, but yeah, you know, I respect it. I respect it.
There's a lot of like big places.
A lot of outliers there. Yeah. Massive outliers.
Hull.
Like,
shut up.
Firstly, Hull. I agree with Callum. Hull. What the fuck are you doing on that list? Secondly, Nashville. I don't agree
what's
with
Nashville,
Tennessee. What is there to Tennessee? I've got no idea. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone from Tennessee, but I've got no idea about what's in that state.
They filmed all of the X-Files in Vancouver, the early seasons, so that's obviously a definite reason to go there.
I heard Ljubljana is a really nice city to visit, though, in Slovenia. My friend went there last year, and it's apparently it's really, really nice.
Isn't Mexico super dangerous?
Nah, it's people really like to make a massive deal about the whole, you know, cartel situation in Mexico. I mean,
isn't
it is
it
bad.
Pretty...
It is, you have to be careful where you go, but I know a lot of people who live in Mexico City, and they're, like, they're really good friends of mine, and they live a normal life just like you and me do, like, you know, they don't really, as long as you don't go to the bad neighborhoods. I mean, that could happen in London too. If you go to the bad areas, you know, anything bad can happen to you.
I don't think it's on the same level though, man, especially with like the level of corruption amongst their politicians as well.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you know, to that whole thing about like the busload of student protesters that just went missing and then were found murdered,
like, yeah, to be honest, I know what you mean.
When was that?
Not too long ago. Yeah, not like, too long big ago. News because like the mayor was kind of found out to be a bit like complicit in it because apparently like
she was part of the cartel, literally part of my family,
and and apparently was like part of ordering like the hit out on him, like
it was a school, there were students, weren't they?
Yeah
they had like an entire class missing, weren't they? Like,
it was a super grim story,
wasn't that like that was in Christmas time or something?
It wasn't too long ago.
I remember
it was
that.
A real grim story.
That is quite, I don't know, man, to be honest.
I guess it's probably a nice place, but I mean, there's a
I would still
nice want
to visit Mexico. I mean, as long as you don't go to the bad places, you know. I mean, it could happen anywhere. I still think Mexico is a beautiful country, and
I plan on visiting it.
Would you would you put it as number two, though?
No, I would not put Mexico City as my number two. I mean, definitely not.
What would you put then, just go for your top three? Right, you said Japan is your number one.
That's such a difficult question, man. That is difficult.
Throwing you on the spot, aren't I?
I mean, yeah. I've never really visited Tokyo or anything, so I can't really put them on my list.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It's hard to make a judgment without.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But of all the places I've visited, Vienna, Austria is my probably number three. Vienna, Austria is one. I would say probably this is my favorite city in Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, you would have thought maybe like you'd put Egypt up there, seeing the pyramids.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Maybe the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore in America.
Yeah.
Niagara Falls, Taj Mahal.
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, but are these the most like obvious ones though? Like, obviously, they're places to go. Maybe Rough Guys, this one's just been like, yeah, check out these places too. Like, come on, go to Hull.
See, Cam.
Not London, no, go to Hull.
See, Cam, Niagara Falls are great, but it's become such a touristic place. Like, when I went to Niagara Falls, it literally just felt like I was just like queuing up to a zoo or something, man. Honestly, full of people. The queues took hours and hours and hours. You know what I mean? It's just like proper business sort of like. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I don't know, man. It's a really, obviously, it's a beautiful, you know, beautiful once you're in there. But I don't know. It just feels like very, very too touristic, like too queuing up. And like, you know, you're like, they put you in a boat and you're very like in a very small space, you know, and you can't move because there's so many people.
Yeah.
I think it's because I went in the middle of summer, to be honest. And that's probably like the peak, you know, of people who tend to visit Niagara Falls. So it's probably because of that.
It's no surprise they're really highly monetized that there isn't, to be fair.
Yeah.
Well, so what about then? I've put in a big circle, space travel. Because obviously they're going to have like commercial space travel eventually one day.
I would fucking love that. Well, they've already started talking about that Richard Branson.
Is it Virgin Galactic? Book.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's already started taking orders for that. It's like, what, 200k a trip?
Yeah, that's the figure I have in my head, but I don't know if that's just from what I've heard.
Yeah, like, and you basically kind of just going into orbit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that it, just going to orbit? You don't actually land anywhere?
No. Yeah, you know, that's way too expensive.
This is basically just
like your standard flight, but it's able to go just a bit further. Yeah, so you're like, able to get the big
sort
view.
Of like International Space Station level, kind of in a way. And that's 200 grand, and we haven't even left. Like,
is that economy or what's first class?
That I don't think there's like an.
I'm pretty sure most of the people go on the same level of like similar level of wealth, Sam.
I might see, you know.
Yeah, it's not even like that long a trip either. It's like going to be like a few hours. Yeah. And you're spending 200k. If you can drop that money, then man, you are like first class.
Yeah, man.
I wonder how long it'll be till it comes down to our level, though. Because I mean, stuff does tend to drop reasonably quickly. I mean, there's that thing about like the price of like mobile phones and how limited they were in use when they started coming out, and now like. Everyone in Africa, like even in the most deprived areas where they don't have food, they've got shitty mobile phones. Yeah, that's how technology drops down.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I wonder when things like that will get to like, you know, standard economic sort of like.
Jake, we'll all get our own
purchasing power. What, sorry?
Maybe we'll all be able to go into space in our own little private, like our own
personal. Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cool. If that is the case, that would be pretty damn sick. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, if you were thinking of like, you know, traveling to Mars, constant like spaceship is traveling to Mars and back, I don't think that's gonna happen anytime soon.
What about that whole thing they were doing a while back when they were trying to get people to sign up to go on that one way trip to Mars?
Oh, that I have a great story about that.
No, you trying to apply, Sam?
I'm all up.
Did you apply?
No, I didn't apply. No, there was this one. There was one time a friend and I were coming back from the casino after a night out, and we got in a taxi, and there was this woman that was driving. So it was a female driver, you know. I thought, oh, that's, you know, a bit different. You know, I was like, oh, you know, this is a conversation we had. Turns out she was a man. Right? No, don't laugh. It's everyone's life choice. Okay. So this woman. It was a man. She's called Melissa Reed, and she has decided to. She was applying, and she was very, very close to becoming one of the contestants on this sort of like Mars. I say contestant. Well, she made it sound like it was the Big Brother
game show. You're basically going on a one-way trip to die on Mars alone.
Contestant.
But she was transgender, I don't know what it was. But anyway, so we were in this taxi, say, yeah, I've been applying for this Mars One thing and I'm really close and all this sort of stuff. And she was like becoming this quite, she was a strong applicant for it. Anyway.
Wait a sec, Sam. So she was a taxi driver.
From Hull, who was a man, but
turned
woman.
And then she told you that story.
Yeah, no, honestly,
as you're in the taxi.
Yeah, yeah. But
have you seen The League of Gentlemen? Because that's like exactly like a sketch from that show, man.
I haven't. But I hand on my heart, this is true. So then she goes on to say, tell us that she was a man, right? Honestly, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. And she said,
did it come up in conversation? Can you remember?
I don't know. I don't know. She just felt the need to just be like, you know, look, guys, yeah, I'm actually a man. And I was like, all right, okay, then I'll stop stroking your fire then. You know, no, I'm joking. She explained the entire story of how it was that she became a man. And she was even on. This morning with Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield. I've seen it. I googled it because she was denied a sex change for 25 years and decided to have a DIY one. And she did it, and then she finally had to have an operation because obviously she did it herself. Yeah. And it's all true, hand on my heart, true. And I got in a text with it. And then I remember tweeting her. If you got my tweets, I'd be like, interesting taxi home with Melissa Reed, and she did reply.
What hasn't happened to you, Sam? What hasn't happened to you? That is the question.
It's weird, isn't it?
You have. A really weird, like, you know, set of stories to tell.
I love it though. Don't you love just meeting new people? That's kind of what I'm excited to sort of like go.
Yeah.
Find some kooky stories, you know. Meeting some different people. Yeah, that is honestly one of my favourite sort of random encounters I've ever had. I've never seen her again. I've gone with that taxi a few times and I've asked like people what's your opinions, and So, anyways. We're coming towards the end of our show.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We got these. I got a couple of things. First is the bucket list. I asked at the start of the show, I think of three things, three to five
or maybe one if you've struggled so far, of things you want to do before you die.
Okay. Are we talking about things that are likely to happen?
Anything. Well, anything. Even if it's like learn telekinesis or something.
That's going a bit far, but I would love to learn to fly a plane. I'd love to walk out on the pitch at Anfield.
What, everyone clapping you as well.
if I could knock one into the back of the net as well, I mean...
Why did you become a striker?
That's not the way I want to go about it.
So you want to play for Liverpool then? No, I'm joking. Carry on.
I mean, because you know sometimes they let like amateur teams, you know, play there, that stuff. I mean, I know it's probably impossible, Sam. Even just walking out onto the pitch just on... Because, I mean, they don't even let you into the pitch on tours and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the most likely way would be if they, like, somehow win something and then everyone was streaming onto the pitch, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and last thing would just be to write an actual decent budget film. Yeah, those are the three things I'll put on my list.
I agree with that. I'll accept that one as well. What about you, Hosepipe?
Travel to space, actually. No, literally, I travel to space.
Yeah.
Probably contribute to the world of...
fashion.
Maths/... finance, like, come up with a new way of, like, you know, like, a new method or, like, a new formula that makes things, you know, a bit more efficient in a way, maybe. You know, just basically noticeable...
Nobel Peace Prize for economics, Jose.
Yeah. So, basically, noticeable contribution to the world of economics and mathematics. And lastly, I have no idea.
Oh, well. And lastly, on the top three is to think of a third thing.
Now, got one more thing, Jose.
One more thing? Fucking hell. Probably get a tan, to be honest. Like, honestly, I've been so fucking pale, like, for the past few... I just don't look Spanish, honestly. You just probably get a tan.
You need to work on that bucket list, Jose. Get a tan is number three.
Get a tan.
Well, it's been an improvised sort of, like, you know, bucket list. I'm pretty sure I can do a better job.
Go to space, get, like, a Nobel Prize, get a tan.
So what about you, Sam?
Well, the one where you said make a film was one that I had, and space travel, so there's two, man. I don't know. Make love under the stars.
Sam.
No,
Sam.
You not already got that one crossed off, Sam.
I suppose
technically you're always under the stars. True. So you can kind of cross it off, Sam.
Alright, let's try and think. I remember I actually started writing this is when I was like 13, was a bucket list of things to do. I know, like, get a million views on a YouTube video was like a thing you had to do before you die.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to
earn,
I know what you mean.
I'd love to be worth at least £1 million before I die.
About that material wealth.
And then probably for third is have my own line of fashion, fashionable ponchos.
Sam, the poncho man.
That's all looking great.
I wanted to have my own brand of hoodies as well. I wanted to just have real nice cheap hoodies that anyone could have. And then everyone's wearing them, like Gola bags. Do you remember the Gola bag fairs? You know, stuff like that. But how about the hoodie fairs? The old SKS hoodies or something like that. So that is my bucket list. And I think, before I end the show, do you not have a Spanish corner you want to do, Hosepipe?
You know, I was actually thinking of something interesting to say from Spain. But to be honest, like, you know, the other day when we were at Glenfield, I thought of an amazing thing to say for the next time we did Socially Shortwood. But I've forgotten now, man. It's so annoying, man. That my short-term memory is awful nowadays. So, like, you know, in terms of improvisation... did you know that the capital of Spain? Well, Madrid has got is the highest... it's the capital city at the highest level above sea in Europe. So, basically, you'd think Switzerland, like, one of these typical mountainous countries, have, like, you know, the capital city has got the highest above sea level, but it's actually Spain. It's
okay, I've got a question to do with Spain.
Yeah.
Can I get the flamenco music going?
Do it, man.
I've been trying to get this ready. Let's have a look at this. Here we go. Are we ready? Go on, tell us about Spain then, Jose.
Well, that's the question. I'm not sure how much you'll be able to tell me about this.
Okay.
But I just came across some people just like an attempt at like banter slash insulting between football teams. They were calling fans of Real Madrid Franco sympathisers.
Yeah.
Can you shed any light on that?
It is essentially true. A lot of people who support Real Madrid tend to be very linked to like right wing politics, or like, you know, well, not really right wing. I would say like it's a bit more extreme than right wing. Just like absolute extreme right wing, like totalitarian sort of like, you know, sort of ideologies. You know, i.e. Franco, for example. Also, Franco was a massive fan of Real Madrid himself. So during the dictatorship, he would fund a lot of, you know, a lot of money, invest a lot of money into Real Madrid. And FC Barcelona would be essentially neglected, and they would be like, basically, it would just be abused by the Spanish government. And that's why a lot of people, that's why Real Madrid did so well back in the 70s and 80s, because basically all of the money, which was sort of like what came from sport, was all invested into Real Madrid by the government. So that's basically it. I mean, it is true. I mean, and nowadays, if you go and watch any Real Madrid match, you'll always see like a lot of supporters with a Spanish flag, and then the eagle in the middle, which mean you know, symbolising the fact that the Franco dictatorship, essentially. So I mean, I'm not saying that all of the Real Madrid fans are fucking Franco sympathisers, because that would just be an absolute and utter lie. But I mean, it is true that a lot of people who support Real Madrid do sympathise with, you know, the typical Francoist ideologies. It is true.
Thanks
but,
for the answer.
But at the same time, a lot of people who support FC Barcelona tend to be tend to follow like an independent ideology, like Catalan independence.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can say both. But I personally don't like to mix politics and football, and people who do that are just idiots, to be honest, because they completely like jeopardise the whole thing of like, you know, the whole purpose of football is you can sort of get away from other sort of like, you know, politics, whatever, you know. And it's just I just see it as such a stupid move, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah,
well, interesting Spanish corner.
That is a very interesting Spanish corner.
I know.
I was trying to get the balance of the music right, so I was distracting. I quite enjoy the flamenco music, but I'll continue to allow this just to play out until I announce that it is now Callum's 21st birthday.
Hey!
Shock midnight. And I've, for a song just to play us out with, I've got a nice birthday song that I got off the internet.
You're too kind,
so happy 21st birthday.
Happy
21st Callum.
Birthday, Callum.
Who'd have thought this would be what I was doing, when I'd broken my 21st birthday.
Anyways, thank you.
You should be honoured. You should be honoured, Callum.
For being on Socially Shortwood to enter your 21st birthday.
At least I'll have something solid to remember it by with the podcast sandwich. You got that going.
Exactly, yeah, which will be on iTunes tomorrow. Thank you for helping me plug that, Callum. But yeah, thank you everyone who has tuned in tonight. This has been Socially Shortwood with me, Sam Shaw. We've got Jose Artes.
Hello. Goodbye.
Bye. And then obviously we've got the birthday boy, that is Callum Sims.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening, people.
Anyways, have a good night, everyone.
Bye. We sing happy birthday to you, and may all your dreams come true. Happy.